Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to 5 a.m. prayer. Thank you for being on this beautiful morning. I'm going to ask if you would please take a moment and mute your line on this morning. We're getting some feedback already, and we are recording this, so please take a moment to mute your line on this morning as you enter into the environment. We are so thankful for this consecrated environment on this morning, and we're so thankful for each and every one of you. Now, this morning, our prayer agenda is going to point us toward what I believe God is emerging amongst us who are a part of the church. There is something that must come forth in this generation, and I want to give language to us this morning, and that is a new species of believers. That is going to be our focus in prayer on this morning. If you are in a position, I know that some people are getting ready for work and can't write, but thank God for the recording. Amen. But for those that are sitting in a place where you are quiet, you are able to settle yourself, I want you to write that today's prayer agenda here on 5 a.m. prayer is a new species of believer. I've been teaching for a pretty long time now, and one thing I understand about people is that we can become very passive listeners. The majority of people rely on the person speaking to do the heavy lifting, but they do not necessarily do the heavy lifting with the person who is teaching. We'll listen, we'll receive what sounds good to us, we write down a few things that capture our attention. Right? We may even remember a statement that moved us emotionally. But there is a difference between hearing someone teach the Bible and actually engaging the Bible for ourselves. So although I am going to read scripture in your hearing this morning, my prayer is that you will take the scriptures that are shared and go through them yourself. Read the entire chapter. Look at what comes before the verse and what comes after it. Ask yourself, who wrote this book? Ask yourself, to whom it was written to at that time. Look up words you do not understand. Use your concordance, right? Your Bible dictionary. Consult a trusted commentary. Compare scripture with scripture. Do some of the intellectual and spiritual labor required to understand what God has placed in his word. Because what we are going to talk about this morning cannot be produced through passive Christianity. And for those of you that just joined us on this morning, we say good morning and grace and peace to each and every one of you. Our prayer agenda points are going to focus around the theme, a new species of believers. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, verse 17, I'm not going to say that everyone may be familiar with this particular verse in Scripture, but many of us are familiar with 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it reads, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," I like to read the scripture slow so that we can really digest what the scripture is saying. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The Greek word for creature in that verse is ktesis. Ktesis, K-T-I-S-I-S. I take a moment to spell it out, so just in case for those of you that want to go back and study it out, you know the spelling. K-T-I-S-I-S, ktesis. The Greek word translated creature is ktesis. It carries the idea of creation. Something created, or a new creation. So when we use the phrase a new species of believer, I'm using that language to help us think about what Paul is actually describing. The person who is in Christ is not just an improved version of the old person. No. Something new has begun. This part of what I want us to understand about the Bible is this. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is filled with the new, with the revelation of the King and his kingdom. We see humanity created in the image and the likeness of God, right? We see humanity. What were they given in the very beginning? They were given dominion. But then we see the fall of man. And what happened to the human mind? What happened to human behavior and human relationships and humanity's capacity to properly represent God when sin came in the picture? Then we see the redemptive project of God unfold throughout Scripture, and ultimately humanity is restored through Jesus Christ. The first Adam affected the human race through disobedience, but the second Adam, Jesus Christ, introduces another order through righteousness and obedience. So this morning, within our prayer agenda, we are going to pray into the emergence of this new species of believer. We are going to pray for believers whose thinking is being restored, whose spiritual sight is being restored, whose understanding of God is being restored, whose relationship with Scripture is being restored, and whose lives become evidence that redemption affects more than where we go when we die. We are praying for ourselves and for a people whose minds are being renewed by the Word of God, whose habits are being reordered around the things of God, and whose understanding of kingdom responsibility is becoming clearer. We are praying this morning that God would bring forth believers who understand that salvation is not just about escaping judgment. Redemption restores our capacity to represent Him. I'm going to say it again. Redemption restores our capacity to represent Him. I'm going to say it a third time. Redemption is, it restores our capacity to represent Him. Redemption should affect how we think. Redemption should affect how we live. It should affect how we govern ourselves. If you have just joined us, I'm going to ask that you please mute your lines. Take a moment and mute your lines. I know some of you are trying to record, but I need you to mute your lines on this morning. Trust me, we are recording, so you will be able to go back and listen to this. Amen. Thank you so very much. Redemption should affect how we represent God in the earth. But humanity is suffering from spiritual amnesia. We have forgotten what it means to be human according to God's original intention. We are suffering from spiritual amnesia. We are also suffering from spiritual blindness, because when we lose proper knowledge of God, eventually we lose our ability to interpret ourselves, come on, our lives and the world around us correctly. But Scripture participates in the restorative process. You know, as we read and we study and we live by the Word, little by little, bit by bit, day by day, our thinking begins to come back into alignment with God. And that is the framework of our prayer agenda on this morning. So our prayer point number one is this. We must recover the spiritual history we have inherited. That's point number one for those that are writing. We must recover the spiritual history we have inherited. Most of us do not know the history of Christianity in this nation. And that really is a problem. We know some of the people our parents may have watched on TV or listened to on Christian radio, particularly if we were raised in Christian homes. For some of us, we were. For some of us, we weren't. We may recognize certain contemporary preachers or maybe musicians. We may recognize denominations and movements, but many of us have very little knowledge of the men and the women who labored in this nation before there was Christian television, before there was social media platforms, before ministry could be broadcast, around the world instantly, and before Christian personalities could build global audiences from their phones. We have inherited ways of prayer. We have inherited evangelism and holiness movements and missionary movements. We have inherited Pentecostal movements and abolitionist movements and Bible societies. We have inherited church planting movements and educational institutions and reform efforts that were built by people whose names many of us have never heard of. But we ought to know something about them. Not because every historical Christian leader was perfect. No, because they were not. But history should be studied. Spiritual maturity requires enough historical consciousness to understand that we did not arrive here by ourselves. I want you to consider this morning a man by the name of Charles Grandison Finney. This man became one of the major revivalists of the 19th century, of the Second Great Awakening. He left the practice of law for ministry, and he conducted an extensive revival work, and he taught theology at a place called Oberlin, and he served as a pastor. And he later became the president of Oberlin College. His revival methods became influential enough that his lectures on revivals are significant texts for American revivalists throughout time. Oberlin was deeply connected with abolitionism and racial reform. The name is Charles Grandison Finney. Look him up. I want you to consider Phoebe Palmer. Yeah, a woman who became one of the most important leaders of the American Holiness Movement. She led the Tuesday meeting for the promotion of holiness in New York. She taught scripture. She wrote extensively about sanctification. She became involved in ministry among the poor through the Five Points Mission. She opposed slavery. She advocated for women. This is back in 1807, okay? She carried her holiness message throughout the United States and internationally. She did it in the 19th century when the legitimacy of women publicly teaching and preaching was fiercely contested. And then there was Amanda Berry Smith, who was born into slavery and became an African-American evangelist, an independent missionary whose ministry carried her through the United States, throughout England and Ireland and Scotland. She traveled through India and Africa. And historical records document her across multiple continents. And she later established an orphanage and an industrial home for abandoned and destitute black children. I need you to think about what that actually required. A black woman born into slavery in the 19th century Americas, preaching internationally. We need to understand the history that we have inherited.
Look up a man by the name of William J. Seymour and the Azusa Street Revival of 1906. Seymour was an African-American holiness preacher that was leading a revival in Los Angeles during the era of Jim Crow. At Azusa Street, black people, white people, men, women, immigrants, working class people, and people from different social positions worshiped together under the leadership of a black pastor. The revival continued with multiple services over an extended period of time. And Seymour's apostolic faith, he had an apostolic faith paper that circulated widely. Missionaries carried the Pentecostal message internationally, and Azusa became one of the major historical centers from which modern Pentecostalism spread. Some of us are Pentecostal today and know almost nothing about William Seymour. We speak in tongues, but we do not know the history. We talk about revival, but we don't know many of the revivalists. We talk about the moves of God, but we haven't studied the people through whom some of these movements came. And for some of you, I remember Billy Graham. My mom used to have him, some of his preaching and his teaching on the TV when I was young. Whatever one's denominational tradition or assessment of the 20th century American evangelism is, Graham's evangelistic influence cannot be ignored. His ministry extended through large scales of crusades, and it went through radio, it went through the frequencies of TV and international evangelism. His public ministry became known for intentional structures around financial and moral accountability. Now, these are only five names, and I could keep going. But my purpose this morning is not to give you an exhaustive American church history lesson, no. My purpose this morning is hopefully your curiosity is being awakened. Who came before me? Who prayed and labored before I came on the scene? Who carried the gospel when obedience carried social, financial, racial, or personal costs? Who carried it then? Who helped establish the institutions that many of us have gone to or desire to go to today? Who helped to establish these movements, these ministries, these spiritual traditions that some of us actually possess, that God has given us a movement. He's given us a ministry. He's given us an institution, a spiritual tradition. And we're benefiting from that today because of those that have come before us. What wisdom can we recover from their obedience? What mistakes can we avoid because we were willing to study their history? There are generations of men and women whose labor is part of the reason we are able to experience what we experience today in the glory. One of the dangers of historical ignorance is that every generation begins believing that what God is doing with them began with them. But it did not. There were people before us. There were prayers before ours. There were revivals before ours. There were reformers before we came here. There were theologians. There were intercessors before us. There were people who gave themselves to the advancement of the gospel and did not make the accumulation of money. They didn't make the accumulation of recognition. They weren't celebrities. They didn't have personal comfort that was controlling the objective of their obedience. Scripture uses this phrase, filthy lucre. They didn't give themselves over to filthy lucre. I need us to hear this morning. We must arise as believers who cannot be purchased. We must arise as ministers whose theology is not altered by whoever has the largest check. We must arise as leaders in our community who understand that influence is stewardship. No matter what you do, no matter what influence you have, whether it be in the marketplace, whether it be in the sacred or the secular, we must understand that influence is stewardship. We must arise as a people whose greatest ambition is not visibility, but faithfulness to the assignment that God has entrusted to us. So we're getting ready to go into a time of prayer now. But our first point we're going to pray is recovering the spiritual history that we have inherited. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning we stand, O God, as beneficiaries of generations we did not personally know. We stand as beneficiaries, God, of prayers, God, that we did not personally hear. We stand this morning thanking you for being beneficiaries of sacrifices we did not personally witness, of labor that, Lord God, we get to continue and receive the benefit of, God. Give us the humility this morning to recognize that we are part of a story that began long before us. Cause an awakening of historical consciousness within your church, Father. Give us an appetite to understand how the gospel moved through this nation, how people responded to your spirit in different generations. Lord God, give us an appetite to know movements and how they were established, how institutions were built, God. Give us an appetite, oh God, hallelujah, Lord God, to know how ordinary men and women, working class men and women, became vessels through whom extraordinary things were accomplished. Father, we're praying this morning that you would teach us how to steward inheritance. Do not allow us to receive spiritual benefits without accepting spiritual responsibility. Father, help us, oh God, to be spiritually responsible. Give us wisdom to preserve what is righteous, God. Give us the courage to correct what is deficient in us and around us, Father. God, give us the discernment to distinguish between biblical truth and cultural limitations of the previous generations. Father, we're praying this morning that you would give us the maturity to study history without idolizing people, without dishonoring their contribution, God. Help us to recognize that you have always worked through imperfect vessels, Lord God, yet your purposes have continued from generation to generation. Father, place a weight of responsibility upon us, God, concerning what we hand to those coming behind us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, may we not become a generation known primarily for our visibility while we lack substance. May we not become a generation that knows how to build audiences but does not know how to build your altar. May we, Lord God, not become a generation that knows how to market ministry but does not know how to carry ministry with integrity. Oh God, may we not become a generation that inherits spiritual capital and then squanders it because we did not understand what it costs to produce it. Father, we're praying that you will purify our relationship with influence, that you will purify, oh God, our relationship with money, oh God. We're praying this morning that you will purify our relationship with recognition. Lord God, we're praying, Lord God, that you will search the motives beneath our desire to be seen, that you would search the motives behind our motives to be heard, that you would search the motives behind, oh God, us being promoted and affirmed. God, we're praying that you would raise us as leaders whose character can support what our gifts attract, that you would raise us as ministers who do not alter truth for access. We do not alter truth, oh God, for opportunities. We will not alter truth so that we can have resources or favor or acceptance from men. Give us the ability to possess money without money possessing our hearts. Give us the capacity to receive increase without allowing increase to redefine our values. Give us men and women who understand that ministry is sacred. It's a sacred trust. Father, let what you build through us be strong enough to bless people that we will never meet. Let our obedience produce something that survives our personalities. Let our prayers become an inheritance for this generation. God, let our study become an inheritance. Let our integrity, oh my God, become an inheritance. Let my service become an inheritance. Let my stewardship become an inheritance. May we become trustworthy carriers within the long history of your work in the earth, in Jesus' mighty name. I'm a Messiah. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. Our prayer point number two. Come on, write this down on this morning. We must recover the studying believer. Come on. Yes. We must recover. Hey, the studying believer. We must recover the studying believer. Come on. I want to bring this closer to us personally this morning as our prayer agenda number two. Where is the believer who actually reads and studies the Bible daily? Now, I'm not talking about devotionals. I'm not talking about a verse a day that you get from Bible Gateway. Where is the believer who actually reads and studies the Bible daily? I'm not asking if you attend church. I'm not asking about you listening to sermons. I'm not asking who receives a scripture here or there. I'm asking who actually studies, who takes time outside of the weekly corporate gathering to read the Word. Who's opening a concordance, a Bible dictionary, consulting a lexicon when necessary? Who is reading a credible commentaries? Who is studying historical background? Who is asking the questions like, who wrote this book? Who is the original audience that this writer was talking to? What was occurring politically and culturally during the time that I'm reading into? What was this particular letter addressing? Come on, what problem was the writer actually addressing? How does this passage relate to the rest of the scripture? What did this word mean in its original context? The average believer does not do this consistently. And we have to be willing to confront that. There was a time when the Bible functioned as the primary manual through which Christians developed their worldview. You know, you used to walk into your parents' homes or your grandparents' homes, and some of them would have a big Bible on their maybe dining room table or maybe their coffee table, right? That symbolized that this house is established by the Word of God. There was a time when the Bible, Scripture, informed our morals. Scripture informed our ethics. Scripture informed the understanding of how the family works. Scripture informed how we worked, how we led, how we handled our money. There was a time when Scripture informed community, justice, human dignity, and responsibility. But today, the average person is being discipled constantly. But the question is not whether you're being discipled. The question is who and what is discipling you. All day long, you're being discipled by something. Our phones are discipling us. The algorithms are discipling us. Our fears are discipling us. News cycles, entertainment, political commentary, discipling us. Influencers disciple us. Our peer groups discipling us. Our trauma disciples us. Our experiences, culture is constantly offering an interpretation of what it means to be successful, what it means to be human, what relationships should look like, what sexuality means, what money means, what power means, what we should, all day long. And if we are consuming those messages daily while engaging Scripture occasionally, we should not be surprised when our thinking resembles culture more than Christ. Psalm 119 and 105, which is one of my favorite scriptures, says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Listen to that language. Light enables us to see. If the word is light, then engagement with the word affects our ability to see. We begin to see our lives differently when we read the word and engage with it. We see God differently when we begin to engage the word. We see our fellow human beings differently when we engage the word. We see our decisions and our responsibilities differently. We begin to recognize what we could not recognize while we were walking in spiritual blindness. And this is why God wants us to understand Bible reading as a part of a restorative process. Because we're not just completing a spiritual task when we read the word. As we read Scripture systematically and consistently, God begins to expand our mental and spiritual bandwidth so that we can comprehend the depth and the breadth of who He is and the depth and the breadth of who we are in relationship with. The word begins educating the redeemed person. I need us to hear this morning, because sometimes we have separated spirituality from intellectual development. We can pray for 2 hours, but then refuse to study. We can speak in tongues, but then refuse to read. We can prophesy to the nations and still remain biblically illiterate. We can have spiritual experiences, but still lack biblical understanding. And those things should not be enemies of each other. The Holy Spirit who moves upon us is the Holy Spirit who inspired Scripture. Acts 17 and 11 tells us that Bereans received Paul's teaching with readiness of mind and then searched the Scriptures daily to determine whether those things were so. That means we cannot be passive listeners. Paul was an apostle, and they still searched the Scriptures. He was the apostle of apostles, the Hebrew of Hebrews. They received the teacher without surrendering their responsibility as students. That is the kind of believer, a new species of believer, that we need again. So let's pray into, I need you to pray with me on this morning on our prayer point number 2. that we must recover the studying believer. Are you ready? Father, in the name of in the name of Jesus, God, awaken a hunger for truth among us. Awaken, awaken, awaken. Awaken a hunger for the truth amongst your people. Give us an appetite for your word. Come on, give us an appetite. Give me an appetite for your word that moves beyond inspiration. Give me an appetite for your word, God, where discipline enters my heart. God, order our attention, Father. Order our time. Order our appetites. Order the places where we have allowed distraction to consume the mental space that should have been available for formation. Give us stamina for study, Father. Give us patience when understanding does not come immediately. Give us the ability to remain with a text long enough to observe what is actually there rather than forcing it into what we want it to say. God, Holy Spirit, Lord God, train our minds to ask responsible questions. Teach us how to rightly divide the word of truth. Father, we're praying this morning that you would give your church discernment to know when we are reading scripture through the lens of culture, through the lens of pain, through the lens of denominational tradition. Give us discernment to know when we are reading scripture through preference or personal experience rather than allowing the text to speak with authority. Father, I pray this morning that you would develop amongst us a generation that does not fear study, because study strengthens our faith. Lord God, it does not threaten it. So I pray this morning, Lord God, we pray this morning that we will be the generation that studies your truth. God, remove the false division between being spiritual and being intellectually disciplined. Let prayer deepen our study. Lord God, let prayer, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, deepen us in our study. Let study deepen our prayers. Let prayer deepen our study. And let study deepen our prayers. God, let, oh God, our prayers cause us to go deeper, Lord God, into study. And let study, God, cause us to go deeper in prayer. Raise up men and women who know how to sit quietly with the scriptures. Raise families in which biblical conversation becomes normal. Raise parents who can answer their children's questions with something more substantial than because the Bible says so. God, raise young people who know why they believe. God, raise us up as leaders who can teach accurately. Raise intercessors whose prayer language is informed by the word of God. Raise, God, prophets, God, whose revelation is governed by scripture. Raise apostles whose doctrine can withstand examination. Raise pastors who are capable of feeding people with knowledge and understanding. Father, break dependency upon secondhand revelation. Break us in the name of Jesus from the dependency upon secondhand revelation. We thank you for teachers, but do not allow us to use teachers as substitutes for personal discipleship. We thank you for sermons, but do not allow sermons to become our only exposure to scripture. We thank you for spiritual leaders, but establish in every believer a personal responsibility to know you through your word. Give us wisdom concerning the tools available to us. Teach us how to use our Bible dictionaries. Teach us how to use our concordances. Teach us how to use lexicons and when to go to commentaries. Teach us how to cross-reference your scripture. Teach us historical resources and translations without making any tool greater than the text itself. Make us careful readers, God. Make us responsible interpreters, Father. Make us lifelong learners, God. As we grow in knowledge, protect us from pride. Let knowledge, Ebaramandai, produce worship. Let understanding produce obedience. Let revelation produce responsibility. Let our study make us more like Christ. In the Maya, hey, Rokoborobondian Sabre, hey, Ropombe, Babansaya. May we be students of the scriptures. Maya, Ba Alaba, Ayaba, Ansaria, I, Oboshe, Makaba, Alabandia. May we be students of your word, Ne, Hasaya, Rebo, Manda, Masebre, Hecabra. Oh God, we pray this morning, Lord God, that our hunger will grow. May the hunger of God rise in us. Hey, Rebo, hey, even right now. Hey, Rebaya, Oshamre, Rebaya, Hemaya. May the hunger for reading, Rebaya, Emandia, grow in me, God. Hey, Ramoshaya, grow in me, Father, Emandia. Come on, I need you to begin to cry out right there for more hunger, Emaya. Oh, may Asambre Kata, Rekapanya Nanama Ansaya. For anybody that's feeling resistance right now, for anybody that's feeling obstinance right now by the environment or the atmosphere, Repoko, I need you to press in right there. Press in for hunger. Come on, press in for hunger. More hunger, Ale. Reboko Korea. I'm not satisfied with the hunger of yesterday. I'm not satisfied with just looking back on what I used to do. I'm not satisfied with what I have now. I want more hunger. Hey, hunger, hunger for the word. Hunger for more of you, God. Hunger in my, may it grow in me today. In the namaya, moshaya bakala bo osamri. Come on, cry out for more hunger right there. We're getting ready to move to point three, but cry out this morning. I want more hunger. I want more hunger. More hunger for the word. You are the great revelator. Hey, Rokopoya, you are my teacher, Holy Spirit. You are my teacher, oh Holy Spirit. You told us that if any man lacketh wisdom, all they got to do is ask. And God, wherever we're lacking in wisdom, wherever we're lacking in interpretation, wherever we're lacking in revelation, wherever we're lacking, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for endowing us with what we need to know, oh God, about you and about your word, for you are your word, and your word is you, O God. Could it be, people of God, that we're not experiencing the will of God because we're not praying it? Could it be that we don't see the manifestation of the word because we're not praying it? Because his word is his will and his will is his word. Come on. We know your will by reading your word. We know your word. If we know your word, we know your will. Hey, Maya Hasebo Shekapaya Mama Mansaya. Come on, I'm moving to the next prayer point, our last prayer point on today before we close. Am I? Hey, Ando Shaka. Rekaboshe, Mama Manda Yakaboshe. Oh, Holy Ghost. Rebabaya. Hey, grow in me. Hey. Oh, grow in me. Asabre. Our point number three for those that are writing on this morning. Hey, we must recover our capacity to think. Come on. Oh, we got to recover it, people of God. We must recover our capacity to think, to think, to think. One of the things that happened to humanity through the fall was that our thinking was affected. Ha. Oh, my God. Sin didn't just change our behavior. It affected our perception. Sin will affect your judgment. It will affect your desire. It will affect what you call good and what you call evil. Sin begins to affect what we value. It affects how we interpret reality. And that is why the restoration of humanity necessarily includes the restoration of the mind. Romans 12:2. Come on, let's memorize that if we don't already know it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed is so important. Paul is showing us that transformation and renewed thinking are connected. When we read and study the Word of God, God systematically and consistently begins to expand our mental and spiritual bandwidth. We become capable of comprehending things that we could not properly comprehend before. And this is one of the reasons Paul prays in Ephesians 1 for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. I need you to, if you can't do it now, I need you to go back to Ephesians 1 and look at that language. Really look at it. Sit with it. Notice it. Eyes. Understanding, wisdom, knowledge, revelation. Christian spirituality is not anti-intellectual. God never asked us to stop thinking. He asked us to surrender our minds so that we could learn how to think according to truth. Not our own truth, but his truth. The truth. And this is where the church has an enormous responsibility. Church cannot only be a place where we clap and shout and dance and sing and feel better. The church must participate in the re-education of redeemed humanity. People should come into the church and learn another way of understanding life. We should develop a paradigm of righteousness, a paradigm of stewardship, a paradigm of leadership. We should learn a paradigm of family, of money, a paradigm of sexuality, a paradigm of work and of justice and of power and human dignity and a paradigm of dominion. And this is why Jesus begins his proclamation in the book of Matthew, chapter number 4 and verse 17, with repentance in relationship to the arrival of the kingdom. The kingdom requires a different mind. We cannot continue thinking according to the systems that formed us and expect to function properly within the government of God. And this is why the scriptures are so important, because we got short memories. We can receive revelation on Sunday, become deeply moved by it in somewhere on Sunday or between Monday and Thursday. Life begins to happen. Bills begin to happen. Children happen. Employment happens. Pressures and disappointments start to happen. Conflict and fatigue starts to happen. And somewhere between the revelation we got on Sunday and life, we disconnect from what God showed us. The Word becomes a governing reference point. It helps establish convictions. It helps establish non-negotiables. It helps us determine what we will and will not compromise. It helps us remain stable when circumstances are unstable. This is a part of how God develops a new species of believer. Not just somebody who can have a spiritual experience. Somebody whose mind has come under kingdom government. And so as we pray and engage in this last prayer point on this morning. Koba sabrakata. I need you to hear God. Hear God, hear God, hear God, hear God, hear God, hear God. Hear what God is saying to you. Hear him. We need to know where we came from. We got to recover the spiritual history we have inherited. We've got to recover the studying believer. And lastly, we got to recover our capacity to think. Come on, let's pray. Renew my mind, Father. Renew my mind. Renew my mind. Renew my mind. Renew my mind and I'm on shita. Rebande de sabra. Renew my mind, God. Renew my mind, renew my mind. Go beneath behavior this morning, God, and deal with the thought systems that are producing our behavior. Mandaya. God, expose every ideology, every assumption, and oh God, expose the fear that has not left. Expose the wounds and the traditions. Oh God, expose cultural patterns that have become more authoritative in our thinking than your truth. God, I'm praying this morning, God, for every person that's currently under the sound of my voice and those that will listen back to the replay where trauma has trained our minds to expect what you never said. I'm praying, Father, that healing and correction will come upon our minds. God, where disappointment has altered our theology, I'm praying this morning, Lord God, that correction, oh God, will come upon our lenses on this morning. Father, where culture has taught us definitions that contradict your order, I'm praying this morning, we're praying that you would teach us again where religious traditions have replaced biblical understanding. Give us courage to examine what we inherited, where pride has made us unteachable. Father, I'm praying that you would humble us where fear has reduced our capacity to imagine what obedience can produce. Father, I'm praying, God, that you would expand us, expand us, expand us. Give us the ability to comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and height of what you are doing in and through us. Increase our spiritual bandwidth. Increase our mental capacity. Increase our ability to recognize patterns, to understand systems. Increase, Lord God, our discernment of consequences. Oh God, God, we're praying, God, that you would help us to increase our ability to solve problems and bring righteous order into the environments that you have entrusted to us. Let the mind of Christ become more than a scripture that we quote. Let it become visible in the decisions that we make in the name of Jesus. Father, we're praying, oh God, that you are raising up this new species of believer amongst us in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray, that you would restore our capacity, oh God, to think. You would restore, oh God, and give us back an appetite for your word, that you would heal us from spiritual blindness and spiritual amnesia, that you would deliver us from allowing, oh God, teachers and podcasts and social media personalities to do all of our spiritual thinking for us. Give us the Berean spirit, oh God, that receives the word with readiness and then searches the scriptures, oh God. Begin a Bible revolution amongst us. Let people begin opening their Bibles again. Let families study together again. Let questions arise again, Father. Let curiosity arise even in the day. I pray, God, that people's hearts would start causing, oh God, questions to start springing forth in their hearts. Oh God, I pray today, oh God, that people would rediscover the library, Lord God, that you have given us in these 66 books. Lord God, as we move, Lord God, from Genesis to Revelation, allow us to see the revelation of the King and his kingdom. Allow us to see the human project. Allow us to understand what was lost through Adam, but what was regained through Christ. Allow us to understand what it means to be a new creature. Oh God, and from among us, Father, cause a new species of believer to emerge. Believers who have been restored in their thinking, restored in their spiritual sight. Believers who are restored in their understanding of Scripture, restored in their sense of responsibility. God, I pray, God, against just people that would exist that don't know how, oh God, to live human. Oh God, as a human in the earth, as a spiritual being in the earth. Lord God, who have lost their way as a human being. Oh God, I'm praying, oh God, on this morning, Lord God, that you would cause the residue of yesterday, Lord God, that you will cause all of the things that we, Lord God, have endured, Lord God, and that are still laying on us like a cloak, Lord God, that you would wash away, oh God, the residue, the ash of the battles that we have fought in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that you will cause the rain to come upon us to wash away the debris in the, oh God, so that we can become a people who can be trusted with truth, so that we can be a people who can be trusted with influence and with resources, that we will become a people who will be trusted with revelation, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Madame Bale Kaboria Babasaya. Lord God, we are a people, Lord God, who can be trusted to, Lord God, hand a sound gospel and a sound understanding of your people, of your kingdom, to the generation coming, oh God, hallelujah, that are coming behind us. Father, we thank you. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Lord God. And whatever is important to you is important to us. Whatever's on your mind, God, let it be on ours. Whatever's on your heart, oh God, let it burden ours, oh God. Meraba mansa. May we meditate on your scriptures day and night. May we meditate on what you said day and night. May we produce what you said day and night, oh God. Mareba loco borodorobo o sambaranama. Even when we sleep, even in our dream state, Abba Rokopo Riantata Rekaporian Dadabo Osheta Nana Nama Nanda Nanabo Hosaya. I hear the Holy Spirit saying that some of you used to go to sleep with the scriptures playing. He said, get back to it, get back to it. Go back to the days when you used to read the scripture before you went to bed. Go back to the days when you used to get on your knees and pray. Come on. on the side of your bed. Come on, we've been got so modernized. We got to go back to the primitive way of doing things. There used to be a day when your Bible was next to your bed, and when you woke up, that was the first thing you saw. That was the first thing you picked up. You didn't pick up your phone. You didn't go to the bathroom. You picked up your word, and if you had to take your word to the bathroom with you, that's what you did. There used to be a time where you were praying, in the shower, to your God. You couldn't get enough of him. Restore that place back to us, God. Reba, where we hunger for more of you, where we long for more of you than we do of ourselves, where we long for more of you than we're thinking about a bill, than we're thinking about a consequence, than we're thinking about anything outside of who you are and what you said. We're not ignorant of what's going on around us, but we go higher. Come on. We got to go higher. We got to go higher. We know what's going on around us, but we got to look higher. We got to be seated in heavenly places. So we are above the debris. We are above the challenges of this world. We are seated in heavenly places. We have an aerial view of what's going on. But we thank you, God. Lord God, on today, Lord God, that you are the answer for the world today. You are the answer for the warfare. You are the answer for our needs and our wants. You are the answer for it all, oh God. And we thank you and we bless you and we honor you. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hey, Reba Samandaya Dabasu. We pray. Amen and amen. Well, we have reached the 6 o'clock hour. Amen. And we certainly do thank God for each and every one of you. Oh, Naman Sabaya. Oh, my God. We thank God. We thank God. Hey. We thank him this morning. Hallelujah. Hey, because he's good. Hey, and his mercy endures for. Hey, oh, Messiah. Glory to God. His mercy endures forever. We thank him this morning. We give his name the glory and all of the praise that is due his name on this morning. If you are here, and you know what I was thinking about last night, we got to bring testimony service back. We got to bring the testimonies of the saints back into the house of the Lord. Oh, God. The saints are being too quiet. We're not testifying of the goodness of God anymore. Hey, my God is good. Hey, God is good despite people not being good to us, despite the circumstances of the world and where we are. God is good. God is great. God is worthy of the glory. And if you are here this morning, we definitely will not leave this line without allowing your voice to pierce through, amen, this call on this morning to testify about your God. If the word of God, if it impacted you this morning and you want to testify, or if there is something that happened through the course of this week that you want to testify about, the line is open for you to come forth at this time. You may unmute.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. My cousin Ava Bethel, I thank God for you. What a mighty word you gave this morning. What a mighty teaching. God is real. I shuffle. He is real, Ava. I wish I was in your presence. I'm way here in Dallas, Georgia, but I wish I was right there in the place where you are. Because you are powerful. You are power-packed. God has put it in you. And I am so godly proud of what God is doing in you. To God be all the glory. I can't wait till you come on morning adoration. I had to lit my house up. I had to go all over the house with this word that you sent it. I was sending out the message. I don't know if any morning adoration on this line, except the one I conferenced in this morning. But to God be the glory. You fed my soul. You helped my soul. You just don't know. You helped my soul. You helping my mind. You helping my will to do God's will, to do it God's way. I am so grateful and thankful, and I'm full. And I got, and I want you to text me this callback number so I can play this and learn it and get it and grab it and hold fast to it, because it's going to help me. God bless you.
Glory to God. 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 I love you. I love you. Glory to God. That's all I got is glory to God. Glory to God. I just want to please him. I just want to please him. Glory to God. Will there be another on this morning? If you would like to come forward, you can do so at this time.
I just want to say this here. I need a shut-in with you. I need you to bring forth a shut-in in Dallas, Georgia. I need to do a shut-in with you. That's all I got to say. I need to do a shut-in. Shuffle! Because I need help. I need restoration. I need you to help your cousin. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We'll make it happen. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Will there be another this morning? If you have a testimony that you want to share, we want to hear it. We want to be encouraged, amen, by your testimony on today. So if you are here and you would like to come forth, you may unmute at this time.
Good morning. My name is Jasmine. I just wanted to come on and just testify about how this reminded me of when I was younger. I'm 37, but when I was younger, I used to have my Bibles and my sticky notes, and I had been given a Strong's Concordance as a young girl, probably in my teens. My voice has gone out from singing. And I would just study. I would wake up in the morning. I would have my highlighters. I would read it before I went to bed at night, and I didn't have anyone teaching me at the time. My background, I didn't come from a lot of, churched background. My grandmother was the one who kind of taught me the word and, you know, gave me over to the Lord as a baby, and that was all I had growing up. But today's teaching, this morning's teaching, just took me back to those days when I would just read the word and just play scriptures before I went to sleep. And over time, you are correct. Culture and society and these phones and different things will make us forget what matters. So I'm grateful that my attention to the voice of the Lord and the scriptures has been restored just through the prayers that we prayed and the declaration. So I just thank God for that and just wanted to testify of the restoration that happened even this morning.
Glory be to God. Jasmine, do you know that you've been called to teach the word of God?
I do.
That is strong upon your life. This is the reason why your grandmother was used as a vessel to give you that word at a very young age. It reminds me very much of Samuel when he was brought by his mother to Eli. And he was brought there because after he was weaned from her so that he can learn the ways of God. We don't know the ways of God, you know. And God, I was one of my spiritual daughters, I was meeting with her yesterday, and as we were talking with one another, and I was saying to her, you know, mentorship, disciple, being discipled by another person is necessary. It's God's way. It's God's way, and we see it all throughout Scripture. There absolutely will be a time when God himself will teach us and train us. But he will give us over to And I'm not saying it's just one person, but he will give us over to someone that will help us to train us. Now, we, of course, don't live in biblical times, and I know that people do this. They go and they live, you know, in certain remote places, and they'll just be taught, you know. But in these days and times, people are not going to do that. They're not going to, you know, they may not go off to school, or they may not go off to a place where it's just them and God, and they be taught. But there is a time throughout the year that we all should retreat, that we should take a week at least to go and steal away with God. And listen, with our rabbis, so that we can be acclimated with the ways of God. And baby, you have been called to teach the word. I just wanted the Holy Spirit wants me to remind you of that, because although you know that you are, I don't know if it's that you don't lack further education, not that you're not educated, but that you lack in someone actually teaching you, or you want to go to school and you haven't been able to do that. But I'm telling you, get in the flow of this word today. Let it take you. Let it take you where it's supposed to take you, okay?
Amen. I will. Thank you so much, Apostle.
Glory to God. Thank you for being on this morning. I love you. Anyone else that would like to come forth on this morning, please feel free to do so at this time.
Good morning, Apostle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Sierra. Mm-hmm.
Hi.
I just wanted to say thank you. Good morning. I just want to say thank you for everything this morning. I definitely needed to receive that. I used to wake up. Well, I am going to start by waking up, reading my word, you know, praying in the shower, entering my prayer closet. But I just have a testimony that happened Sunday. Guys, I was, a situation happened with my younger sister, and at first, I was calm and collective, and then I let my emotions, you know, overplay my feelings. And I'm on 95 heading north, and at the time, I thought I wasn't speeding, but apparently I was speeding. And a few Sundays ago, I remember Apostle was speaking, you know, when she said, you know, rushing to our death. And I was stopped by the state trooper. Not only did he clock me for speeding, but he also clocked me for not having paper registration in my car. So as I'm filled with emotions, I call Apostle. You know, she's like, Sierra, just calm down. You know, you're letting your emotions get the best of you. He went to the car and he came back, and he didn't citate me for the speeding. He only citated me for the not having the paper registration. And I could only give glory to God and glory to Apostle for stepping in and interceding at that moment, because she made me open my eyes. She was like, Sierra, because I was telling her I was going with the flow of the traffic. She was like, but you don't know what was ahead of that traffic that, you know, anything could have happened. So with that prayer and that moment, I had to stop and had to think, like, glory to God, because it's only to you that, you know, I can give praise to. But God is good. He has kept me. He has kept me. When I say He has kept me, He has kept me. And I just want to say thank you for just speaking life into me. Always just having a heart out to just be there for me, and not only for me, but for everyone else. And it was only by the grace of God that I got off with a slap on the wrist. And the man spoke life into me as well. He was like, do you not know what you carry? Do you not know who you are? At that moment, I had forgot. At that moment, I literally was just in a headspace that wasn't safe for me and anyone that was around me. But that's going back to, you know, waking up. I used to sleep my Bible. I sleep my Bible to the day next to me, you know, waking up to the word. I just got caught in the world, caught in everybody else. Life that has absolutely nothing to do with my life. And I just want to say glory to Apostle, glory to God, just bringing her into my life and sent Miami into my life and just really opened up my eyes and my heart to a broader picture and a broader, broader world. Great. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing your testimony on this morning. I love you. And we give all glory to our God. Amen. He wants us to think. And sometimes our emotions, although
we need our emotions, and we thank God for them. Sometimes they can get the best of us. And so God wants us, as he reminded us this morning, to just think, critically think about what we are doing in this life so that he can lead the way. So we bless God for you. Will there be another on this morning? We're just at 6:13. If you would like to share, we're going to close in just two more minutes. But if there is someone that wants to come forth on this morning, we certainly don't want to leave anyone out.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank God for this word. I am connected to your cousin. I call her Mother Val, and mm-hmm. she invited me to this call last night, and I really appreciate this word this morning to stay connected with God and go back to studying the word and know the history of where we came from. The man and the woman who sacrificed so much for us to receive this word. It wasn't light. And just to go back to studying the word and praying the word and having faith and being connected with God. Last night I told her that the Holy Spirit led me to start learning the old hymns.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to learn them, and I questioned it because I was like, you know, why? Not being, I just wanted to understand why to go back to learning the old hymns. And he said to me, when I inspired these songs, these men and women did not have music. They had the word. They got the words and they wrote it down. And then the music came from heaven and they added music to the words. It was like Psalms. And he said the modern music, they have the beats and then they put words to the beats. But these people had the authentic word from me. And I want you to learn these songs. And so it confirmed what you were saying to going back to history, going back to knowing the word, going back to base. Because most things right now is so superficial. Like you said, we can speak in tongues and we can prophesy and do all of that, but we are not connected to base. We are not connected to the word. So I really appreciate this. I really appreciate Mother Val inviting me to this prayer call. It means a lot to me. All of these connections, it means a lot to me. And I'm just giving God all the glory. And God bless you and keep doing what you're doing because God's hand is definitely upon you.
Bless God. I'm so glad that you are here on this morning. Thank God for Mother Val, who is an inspiration and an influence to so many people. So keep be steadfast in the connections that God has given you because they are going to be a wealth of knowledge for your, as you're becoming in your walk with the Lord, the people that he has connected with you are going to be helpers to you, like destiny helpers to you as you continue to grow in God. I wanted to let everyone know that you are able to in about 24 hours, this prayer call, the last week's prayer call is up. And this week's prayer call will be up in 24 hours on our website. So you can go to www.sentmiami.com. And sent is S-E-N-T, miami.com. And you'll be able to access the prayer call from today. We are here every Wednesday at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for those that are in different time zones. And we are so thankful that you would take time to join this particular prayer call. We thank God for each and every one of you, and we bid you more grace. Have a great day.